The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manicero, and this is the show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes, type in Old Dogs, spelled D-A-W-G, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, we have a fun show for you today. This is, you know, I know I say that a lot, but this is really going to be fun because we have a return guest, one of my favorite guests. Last time he's on was March 13th, 2017, and it was a show called Flipping Raw Land. So those of you guys that have been listening for a while, you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Mark Podolsky. And Mark is a land guy. And, you know, I like having different people on because, you know, we talk about, you know, multifamily buy and hold investment property that, you know, that people rent out and you get rental income and stuff. But there's a lot of other types of real estate investing out there. And this one, I think, is very appealing, especially for those that are retirees or approaching retirement. Let me tell you a little bit about Mark, and then he's going to tell you all about the whole raw land thing, okay? Well, Mark, armed with only $3,000, gut-wrenching fear, and absolutely no real estate experience, okay, bought his first few parcels of raw land in 2001. Today, Mark is the owner of Frontier Properties, a reputable and successful land investing company that has been buying and selling land full-time since 2001. By focusing on working smart, not hard, he has completed over 5,000 land deals with an average ROI, now get this, with an average ROI of over 300%, okay? That's the ROI on cash flips, and over 1,000% on the deals he sells with financing terms. Prior to his land investing success, Mark had a high-stress, soulless corporate job. I can totally relate to that one. And felt trapped in a state of solo economic dependency. I love that term. In other words, his income stopped as soon as he stopped working. Escaping that solo economic dependency changed Mark's life in so many positive ways that he decided to teach, coach, and mentor others to help them achieve their financial goals. Even though Mark invests a lot of his time helping others, he stays actively involved in running his land investing business and is dedicated to teaching the most current and relevant real-world land investing methods to his students. Well, Mark, welcome back to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Bill Manicero, I am so excited. Just hearing you talk, I can feel in the deep in the bowels of me that howl, just wanting to get out. And I almost feel like it's going to be like part coyote because I live in Phoenix and part Chewbacca because I'm so geeky.
Well, you know, I don't know if people that are not familiar with the show you were on, you actually had people have to pay to hear your howl. And never had a guest that did that before. You were the first one, whoever said that, you said, if you go to olddogsreinetwork.com, actually, I think if you go to iTunes and go to our podcast and subscribe and give us a review, that then they could hear your amazing howl. So there's going to be a lot of people that are really anticipating this at the end of the show. So I just I don't want to say much more beyond that. I think that's almost all that has to be said.
No worries. But thanks again for having me on again. It's always great to talk with you.
It's great having you on. It's good to have a fellow geek. You know, I'm a geek, and I love talking about geeky things like land flipping and raw land purchasing and all the cool stuff that goes with that. So, but first, before we get going into the sort of the details of what that's all about, just share your story. I kind of gave an overview, but you know, share how you got into this, and you obviously still have an amazing love for it and do a great job with it. But tell us your story.
Sure. So before I became a geeky full-time land investor, I was a really miserable, overstressed, overworked, micromanaged investment banker specializing with private equity groups in mergers and acquisitions. And I mean, Bill, I hated it. I would have a 45-minute commute work and back, and you know how soulless it is. And, oh, yeah. You know, it got so bad for me that I wouldn't get the Sunday blues anticipating Monday coming around. I'd get the Friday blues anticipating the weekend going by really fast and having to be back at work on Monday. So my firm hires this guy, and he's telling me as a side hustle, he's going to these tax deed auctions. He's buying up raw land, pennies on the dollar, and he's flipping them online, and he's making an average return of 300% on his investment. Well, Bill, I'm looking at companies all day long, and a great company, has 15% EBITDA margins or free cash flow. Great company. Your average company is at 10%, and I'm looking at companies all day long, less than 10%. So I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm from the show me state. I don't believe him. So we go, and I just do exactly what he says to do. I've got, you know, $3,000 saved up for car repairs, and I buy 10 half-acre parcels, an average price of $300 each. I do exactly what he says. I flip them online. They all sell for an average price of $1,200 each. It worked. So I took all that money. I went to another tax deed auction where I live in Arizona. And again, this is 2000. There's no one in the room. I'm buying up lots. I'm buying up acreage. And over the next 6 months, I sold all that land. And I made over $92,000 profit. So I go to my wife. I say, honey, I'm going to quit my job, and I'm going to invest in land full time. And she says, absolutely not. She's pregnant at the time. So I said, fine. So I invested in land part time until it exceeded the investment banking income. And then I quit. And I've been doing it full time ever since.
God, that's a great story. That is such a cool story. Wow. Well, Mark, this, you know, I mean, that's a huge step out too, you know, just to do that, like you did. I mean, you kept working at it, you kept growing it, you're flipping, okay. But is there, like, you also create a situation where you have just steady cash flow too? Is that correct? I mean, the flips are, I mean, that to me sounds like that there might be a lot of, you got to keep moving, kind of like your previous job, where if you don't do it, you don't get money, but you also generate regular monthly cash flow too. Is that correct?
Yeah. So let me just walk you through the model. And then you can see exactly what I do. So Bill, where do you live?
I live in Southern California, South Orange County, an area called Laguna Hills.
Oh, you spoiled man. Okay. So I go to the treasurer and in this county in Texas, And I see on the tax delinquent list that, oh, there's Bill Manicero. He owes $200 in back taxes on this 10-acre parcel in Texas.
Not true. Not true. It's not me.
Yeah, right. So you're advertising two things to me. Number one, you have no emotional attachment to that raw land. You live in L.A., the property's in Texas. And number two, you're distressed in some way. Because when we don't pay for something, we don't value it the same way. So, you know, who knows what's going on with you, but you've been getting notices from the treasurer each month that if you don't pay your property taxes, you're going to lose that property to either a tax deed investor or a tax lien investor. So what I'll do is I'll look at the comparable sales on that 10-acre parcel for the last, say, 12 to 18 months. And let's say, for example, it's $10,000. All I'm going to do then is divide by four. And that's going to get me what Warren Buffett would call a 300% margin of safety. And I'm not going to be like the housing guys. I'm not going to send you a letter saying, hey, I'm interested in buying your property. And you're like, well, I'm interested in selling my property. And now I'm in the appraisal business. I'm going to send you an actual offer of $2,500 for that property. So in reality, 3 to 5% of people accept our quote unquote top dollar offer. So you figure, okay, I'm never going to go see this land again. $2,500 is better than nothing. You accept it. And then I go through my due diligence. I want to make sure that you actually own the property. The back taxes are only $200. There's no breaks in the chain of title. There's no liens or encumbrances. I want to make sure that there's ingress and egress, legal access. I want to know what the water table's like. So I go through this whole due diligence checklist. And in reality, I don't even do it. I outsource it to my team in the Philippines. I pay $11 for due diligence. They create the aerial maps, the GIS maps, the plat maps. They get me all the photos, everything I need. And at the same time I'm doing due diligence, I'm creating this marketing package. So I buy the property from you for $2,500. And then I have a built-in best buyer. Do you remember who it is?
Who?
The neighbors.
That's right. Okay, people next door, right?
Yeah. So I send out those neighbor letters saying, hey, here's your opportunity. Bill gave away his property to me. And protect your privacy, protect your views. And the way that I'm going to sell it then is I'm going to get a $2,500 down payment. So I'm going to get my money out on the down, or maybe within 6 months of the down. I don't want to go out any longer than 6 months typically. And then I'm just going to make it a car payment. Let's say $449 a month and 9% interest over the next 84 months. So essentially, if the neighbors don't buy it, then if they pass, I'm going to go to my buyer's list. The buyer's list passes. I go to a little website you probably never heard of called Craigslist. It's the 10th most trafficked website in the United States. I'll go to another little one called Facebook you probably never heard of. There's a billion people on there, the buy-sell groups, marketplace. And then maybe I'll go to landmodo.com or landsofamerica.com, landflip.com, landhub.com. But either way, I'm selling this property in 30 days because I'm going to make it irresistible. And then what I do then is I get that $449 a month. So I get my money out. I get $449 a month for the next 84 months. And Bill, no renters, no rehabs, no renovations, no rodents. And because I'm not dealing with a tenant, I'm exempt from Dodd-Frank, RESPA, and the SAFE Act. And then the game that we play is, can we create enough of these land notes where our passive income from the notes exceeds our fixed expenses, and then we're working because we want to, not because we have to? Or for those of us who are getting to be retirement age, can we create enough passive income where it allows us to do exactly what we want to do in life?
That's great. Now, is that the average? What's sort of the average term for those deeds, those notes that you set up?
You know, it just depends on the property. Mm-hmm. So I've gone out as far as 30 years on very expensive properties. And I'll go out as low as 3 years on really inexpensive properties. But either way, I want to keep it about a car payment. I want to make it really, really inexpensive.
And what kind of interest rates? I mean, what's the range there that you give to somebody on that?
So I'll use the interest as a lever to get more of a down, because the more I can get as a down payment, the lower the default rate. So I might start at 12.9%, and then if they can put more down, I'll lower it to 9%. Sometimes I'll do 0%. I use a software called geekpay.io that automates the entire thing. It does the amortization schedule. The borrower can log in, see their current balance. They don't have to bug me anymore. Hey, can I make a prepayment this month, or what's my balance? And it just really automatically takes the money out of their checking account. But if the checking account bounces, it'll charge the credit card on file. So I have two forms of payment on there. So I've lowered my default rate from 8% to 4% using software.
Got that.
See, now we're getting geeky.
Yeah, I love that. And it's called GeekPay. That's a great.
Yeah, yeah, geekpay.io.
.io. Okay, great. Yeah. Well, you know, it's so interesting because when I first had you on, you know, my experience with buying land, actually my father was a big investor, for him, in land. And it was always more speculative type of thing, where he would buy. I remember the big one is buying a lot in Apple Valley, California. I don't know if you know Apple Valley, but
sure.
Roy Rogers was really pushing this, and you know, he had a lot of credibility, obviously, with my dad, because he bought this lot, and in Apple Valley, said, you know, this is going to be the next Palm Springs, you know, and just never happened. Apple Valley, it still looks pretty much the same. I mean, it didn't fly like he thought it would fly. Did the same thing with some mountain property too. And you know, and I think a lot of people think of that type of scenario when you buy land, you buy it, you hold on to it. Hopefully, you know, it'll be between two major developments, and one day they'll just make you this ridiculous offer and you can retire. But you know, that's not how you're doing it, right? You're doing it in a much, much different way.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if I run into those properties, I'll just keep them in my family trust, with instructions to the kids: don't ever sell until you get an offer that you literally can't refuse.
Interesting. So you do have some that you think one day it's gonna be something really high.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like we'll find properties off the highway, you know, in the path of growth for sure. And we see it during our due diligence, and you know, we just hold it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, give me an example, you know, maybe one of the craziest, you know, investments that you've had flipping land like that. You must buy property and then a lot of interesting things that happen after you've purchased it that you weren't really ready for.
Yeah. I mean, one of the craziest deals that I ever did was a mistake early on, early on in my investing career. I wasn't really great at my due diligence, and I bought this property. It was a 40-acre parcel in New Mexico, on the side of a mountain. And so about 15 of the 40 acres were actually accessible. And I just missed it on the maps for whatever reason. So, and I paid $2,500 for it. So I thought, oh, okay, well, if I can just get my money back, I'll be happy. So I put up all the maps, and I show that it's, you know, it's basically, you know, just not great property, right? And I put up as a dollar note of reserve plus a recording fee on eBay. And the first day, it gets bid up to $2,500. On the 10th day, it's up to $32,500. And I'm freaking out that, you know, somehow I misrepresented this property. These people don't understand the ad, whatever it is. And so the guy wins. I call him immediately. I said, hey, you know, you see, like, this property's on the side of a mountain, right? Uh-huh. Like it's about 15 acres you can actually access. He's like, it's perfect. I'm like, what are you going to do with it? He's like, well, I'm a film director in LA, and I want to film out there, and I want to deal with having to get permits. So that's why I bought the land.
That's wild.
So there's really a pig for every barn in our niche. It's crazy.
So wild. Now, have you ever purchased land, you know, doing your due diligence and everything looks perfect, but you just cannot sell it? I mean, where it just comes to the point where you just kind of get real nervous. You're going, wait, you know, all the things are working, but I'm just not getting any buyers.
No, I've never been stuck with a piece of land ever. It's crazy. It's a weird thing to say after, you know, 500 transactions now or something. And I think the reason is that there's a lust for land in this country that you don't realize. And just the fact that the neighbors alone will oftentimes buy it. You know, and there's just so many marketing opportunities. You know, as long as you buy it right and you make it irresistible, even if you only double your money, right, you're going to sell that property. I mean, think about it, Bill. Like, I don't care what asset you buy. You buy any asset 25 cents the dollar, there's someone else on the other end of that deal.
Right, right. Would you say that marketing is like a key component, though, to being successful in this type of investment?
Yeah, I mean, I it's so funny. When I talk to my clients, I say, look, this business is about M&Ms. And we give everybody a bag of M&Ms, mailing and marketing. If you're not doing those two things every day, you're not in this business. Mm. Yeah, it's all about that. Absolutely. You got to do your deal flow and you got to be generating interest. And with software today, I mean, we can automate our ads on Craigslist and Facebook and put out like 124 ads by just pressing a button.
Wow, that's amazing. What kind of mailings do you do? Can you give me kind of an overview of what are you doing in your mailings?
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a list from the assessor of all the real property in that county. And then I'm going to take that list and I'm going to scrub out all the commercial property, residential property, houses, industrial, right? And the way that I do that is by use code. So let's say for our example, it's VL for vacant land. So now I've got all vacant land in that county. I'm going to do another sort of scrub by APN number, right? Or neighborhood, because I don't want to send somebody who's got 5 acres the same offer as somebody that has 40 acres, because a 40 acre person is going to send me back glitter in the mail. So we'll do one more batch by APN in neighborhood, and then we'll start doing our pricing. And then from there, we're going to upload that list into our software, and using an API called lob.com, it automatically sends out the mailers. And then using the software, the mail comes back bad. I mean, they'll do address verification at Lob, so our bad addresses are really low now. But we'll have a VA go in and find the correct address using Intellius or binverified.com, and we're going to get to that owner somehow, because oftentimes most people will just stop there. So we go that extra step, and that's just a continuous set of deal flow right there just by mailing.
Now, what region, how do you know where to mail? We look for, you know, commercial properties and so forth. We're looking at emerging markets, and we're trying to find those areas where there's, you know, a lot of job growth. There's a lot of people moving in there, things of that nature. What factors do you do? Or is it just something that's close by you?
Yeah, no. I mean, Bill, let's be honest, right? Nobody's going to wake up and think to themselves, boy, I'd really like to buy some raw land today in Iowa, unless you live in Iowa, right? Right. So I'm only buying in Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Texas, Washington, Oregon, California, Florida. So Southwest, a little bit in the Northwest, California, and Florida. These are all fast-growing states, the Sunshine States, and there is just an abundance of inexpensive raw land in those states.
The way you describe that searching method, looking through neighborhoods versus in vacant land as opposed to going into a big wide open space, are you trying to find, like, you know, a neighborhood where there's a vacant lot between two houses that each sell for, you know, $500,000 each?
You know, I'm pretty opportunistic. I don't really analyze that list until the offers start coming back. And then we'll start doing our due diligence from there. So I have no problem buying infill lots. I have no problem buying a 640-acre section. As long as I'm buying it right, there's another, you know, other party at the end of that deal. So, yeah, I mean, infill lots are phenomenal. But so is, you know, raw vacant land 20 miles from town.
Interesting. So you have to have a market, though, for what you're going to sell, right? So and the way you kind of outlined the process earlier is you look first at the neighboring properties, and then you start moving out from there. Is that sort of how you start to, you know, market or at least target people that would be potential buyers?
Well, as far as, you know, the potential buyers. I mean, obviously I'm going to start with the neighbors, but then I already have a list of people that have already raised their hand and said, I'm always interested in buying raw land. So then we just email them those deals. And then we can go out to the open market as well on Craigslist or Facebook. So we're always sort of just targeting people that have grown up hearing, hey, you should buy raw land. They're not making more of it. We look for preppers. These are people that are hoping for the best but preparing for the worst. Military people love land. I mean, it's weird, but like there's just a lust for land in this country. Recreational people. I've got a guy, he spends $5,000 a month with me. He's a CEO in San Diego, and he's never even looked at the property. It's like man jewelry for him. He just thinks it's cool. He just likes the way it makes him feel to keep buying raw land. It's a really interesting niche. And I mean, and that's why if you go to a RIA meeting, Bill, and there's 100 people in that meeting, 99 of them are going to be house flippers, wholesalers, or landlords. You and I are going to be the only land guys. So we've got this massive market. There's no big money. There's no private equity groups. There's no hedge funds. And it's just, you know, unbelievably, like there's just no competition.
But is there a perception of higher risk in land? You know, at least when you're buying a rental property, you know you can put a tenant in it and it's going to generate some cash flow. But is there a perception by, you know, potential buyers that, you know, that this is a higher risk?
I think that you could perceive it that way if you can't wrap your head around it, right? I mean, the fact is everybody needs a place to live, right? That's just a fact. And so nobody needs a piece of raw land. But when you look at your life, 99% of the things that you actually own, you don't need anyways. So, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that people just like to own, just like everything else in our lives. So once you start doing it, you see just how many people want to buy raw land.
That was so interesting. Really, it's interesting. Now, do you ever sort of venture into the other areas like, you know, mineral rights or oil or gas reserves, things of that nature that might come with the raw land?
You know, we really don't. Those are two other separate niches. Oil and gas, I've never, ever heard of anybody making money in oil and gas investments, but it's a phenomenal, you know, tax shelter, right? So oil and gas is really investments are really for the wealthy people that are looking to lower their tax liability. So, you know, that's why, you know, Bill, you probably know about oil and gas investments. But, you know, for normal people, that's not really something they should be looking at. Mineral rights, same thing. You know, that's a whole other niche. Public companies want to buy mineral rights. You know, you can go up against, you know, billionaires who are buying up water rights and those types of things. So that's a whole other separate niche. It's a whole other separate strategy. I mean, you know, there's guys out there that, you know, they'll tie up land, they'll entitle it, they'll take it through the process, they'll get it, you know, shovel ready for a developer, and they'll make, you know, $400,000-$500,000 going through that process. But they take a tremendous amount of risk. So I don't want to take risk. I'm risk averse. I just want to buy and I want to flip and I want to keep building my passive income. That's it. I'm simple.
That's great. Great. Yeah. I was wondering, you know, if you ever had the experience where you actually had, you know, land and somebody paid double and you were all excited, you know, or maybe 10 times, you know, what you paid for it. And then you find out later that it's just got, you know, unbelievable oil reserves and that they're just black gold, Texas tea, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe. I'm not really concerned with it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's not in your model, but
it's not in my model. Yeah. I mean, and you can always, you know, attach. There's things that you can do to make a claim on the mineral rights. Mm-hmm. And then the land man comes and see who makes all the claims and they determine who owns the mineral rights. So you can do that. It's kind of like little lottery tickets. And we're not afraid of having all these little lottery tickets out there. So maybe one day it does happen and we have a claim, but it hasn't happened. Sure. It may not happen in my lifetime. My kids might benefit from it.
Well, take me through a typical, okay, here's let's say Joe Schmo here, and he has he wants to invest in land. Okay, he's got, you know, he's got $1,000 burning a hole in his pocket right now, and he is just ready to be a big land broker here. Tell me what the process is for him to take that $1,000 and to turn it into something in terms of land investment here.
Right. So you're talking about the buyer.
The buyer. Right? Yeah. Maybe it's an old dog here, somebody that's listening that's kind of going, yeah, I'd like to get my hand. I'd like to try that out and see what's the process for that person to invest that $1,000 and make it happen.
Right. Right. So they want to buy the land and for the purposes of making 300 to 1,000%, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So they really need to do their own, you know, education on learning how to do this, because, you know, it's a simple model. It's a buyer, a seller, and a piece of land, but there are all these other moving parts to it. So you've got to learn about how do you do your due diligence correctly. You know, you want to know what are the good areas to buy. You want to know how do you target the right market. And then you want to know what are the irresistible numbers to make it sell. And I would say that if you're going to do that, you want to smart cut it. You want to find somebody that's done it a lot themselves and let them be your Sherpa and learn from them. I mean, it's just like anything in life, right? If I want to go into multifamily, I'm going to find the biggest, baddest person who's done multifamily and just learn what they did, right. and do that. So that's probably going to be their safest, best first start. You know, there's tons of free information out there from YouTube, but I really, if you value your time, you wanted to go straight to a Sherpa.
Right. So somebody that's obviously done a lot of this in the past, like yourself, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, obviously I'm pretty good at it, but you know, there's other people out there. Like if you're listening to this, you're like, you know, we're going to wait to see how his howl is and judge the howl. You know, there's probably other land guys out there that have a better howl and, you know, it might be a better fit for you. There's nothing wrong with it.
Sure. Well, yeah. Just taking maybe that example, okay, I want to buy the land. What percentage, in addition to that $1,000 that I want to buy the land with, do I have to spend on marketing and mailing and so forth to try to get that kind of return?
Yeah, so your fixed expenses are very, very low in this business because you can do it from anywhere in the world. You don't need an office, you know, so you don't have rent. As far as due diligence, we have a VA team. We pay about $11 for virtual assistants to do that. Craigslist marketing is free. Facebook marketing is free. You can do a subscription on, you know, some of the land sites. Landmodo has a free account. Sending out neighbor letters. So we're talking about maybe $400 a month in postage, I would say, for your mailings. But with our margins, it's sort of not here or there. It's extremely profitable when you break down your fixed expenses and your variable expenses in this business.
Now your lists, when you're doing your mailing, I mean, are you buying those lists? And if so, you know, what are sort of the parameters?
I don't buy them. You can buy them. You can get them. You can buy them from the assessor. You can go to a website like agentpro247.com and get a list. You can go to a local title company and get a list. So getting a list can be challenging at first if you've never done it, but it's really about persistence. If I can get a list, you can get a list.
And these are out-of-state owners generally. I mean, just give me some of your criteria for those.
Yeah, lists. I mean, our lowest hanging fruit are going to be out-of-state owners that owe back taxes. But once I determine that I've got a profitable county, then I'm just going to mail everybody.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow. Well, you know, we probably have a lot of folks listening that are, you know, that are intrigued by this, and you know, I'm one of them. I think this is something that really, you know, could be another avenue of investing that can produce well. What do they need to do to get started here?
I think, you know, the best place to go is thelandgeek.com. They can download for free our passive income blueprint, get the ebook, How to Avoid the Three Fatal Land Buying Mistakes, and then get my podcast delivered each week to their email inbox. Or and this is only because, you know, I love you so much, Bill. They can get a free course, the Passive Income Launch Course. Just go to thelandgeek.com/launchkit and then just email support@thelandgeek.com and say, you know, Howl or Bill Manicero or Old Dog. You know, we know it's coming from you.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah. And, you know, you haven't even mentioned you've got a new book out.
Yeah, on Amazon. It's great. It's called Dirt Rich, How One Ambitiously Lazy Geek Created Passive Income in Real Estate Without Renters, Renovations, and Rehabs. I'm really proud of it. We're getting great reviews on Amazon.
That is great. You got to have your bio people plug that into your bio here, because that's a huge accomplishment, writing a book, man. It just doesn't happen overnight.
Thank you. Yeah, I've got to update that bio.
Yeah, let's get that plugged in there, because I think that's great. I want to buy it. And it sounds like a really interesting, you know, not only telling your story, but I'm sure sharing a lot of, good information on how to get involved in this area, which is neat.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, cool, Mark. Man, this is really fun. What other things might you want to share before we transition out the show here that you think would be helpful for folks?
Well, I think, you know, by some of the questions you're asking, Bill, about who's buying it, you got to remember, like, you're not the buyer. Like, some of this raw land, like, you, Bill Manicero, would probably never buy. Like, 95% of the properties I buy, I would never want to own for myself. So you got to just remember, like, you're not the buyer, but that's okay that you're not the buyer. It's not for you. It's for someone else. And it's just a different mindset as far as getting into the raw land niche and sort of having this, you know, awareness that there is a lesser land in this country. I've done this so many times. I've never been stuck with a piece of land that, relatively speaking, it takes very little capital, and you can build passive income without the typical headaches that you see in real estate. So you might as well, you know, give it a hard look.
That's cool. Yeah, it has to be something that is more, because when I think of, gee, you know, there's so much land out there, and you know, how do you know what's even going to sell? But it's not so much a matter of that, right? It's really a system that you plug in,
right?
You know, I think of places like California City. Okay, there's this place called. So doesn't that sound like a great place? You want to go to California City? Well, it looks like Death Valley. Okay, if you go out there, I mean, California City is like smack dab, and it makes Apple Valley look like Palm Springs. I mean, it's just really no. It's just this. It's but yet there's land sale going on all the time in California City, and I don't understand it, because who is buying? You know, unless it's like one of these guys, you know, puts a trailer on it, you know, puts a barbed wire fence around it, and just, you know, sits there with a shotgun on the front porch and just you know, hides out. But I just don't know who would buy that land. Who would buy these in the middle of nowhere?
I know it's crazy. People love it.
That's so wild. Wild. Well, you know, it sounds like you've worked it out in terms of systems and in such a way that you know, that you've eliminated a lot of the risk elements there, which is very cool. Where do you acquire most of your land? Through land auctions, or do you have certain places that you go? I mean, you do everything online almost, right?
Yeah, everything's online, but I buy just directly from the owners through those mailings.
Okay, gotcha. All right, that's right. Okay. Yeah. So that's sort of your bed. That's like the best thing, on, you know, for us too, as well as you know, rental property too. Very cool. I know there's people that probably want to get a hold of you and find out more. Go to your website. You do have some great resources that are available free online, as well as you know, your book and other things. What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
Yeah, again, thelandgeek.com or thelandgeek.com/launchkit. Get that free course. Start getting educated.
I love it. That's great. Okay. Well, we'll post that on our website, and as well as some of the other links we've talked about here, so that folks can find out more about what you do and how you do it. So sounds very exciting, Mark. Very exciting.
Thanks, Bill. I really appreciate it.
It's been great having you on, but you know, you can't leave without, you know, Nobody gets out this show without giving us their best old hound dog howl. So if you are ready, Mark,
I am ready.
Yeah, I mean, words like epic and things like that have been ascribed to your howls. Don't let us down.
I've been practicing for months now. Okay, are you ready?
I am ready.
1, 2, 3. Oh,
it's great. It was a 3D howl, and so we're going to give you that.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right.
All right, Mark. Great talking to you, and we're looking forward to talking with you in the future.
And thanks, Bill.
Also, just want to thank all our old dog listeners out there for joining us. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us means a lot, and we greatly appreciate it. Please note everything we talked about here, everything that Mark talked about, the links and everything can be accessed in our detailed show notes on the old dogs, rei.com/blog website page there. So look for the episode with Mark Podolsky. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.